Lord, anything is possible. God could do anything. Nothing's too hard for him in this place, Lord. Lord, have your will in this place, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, lead us, guide us, direct us, Lord, in the direction, Lord, that we need to go in this place, Lord. This is your house. We are your people called by your name, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, we're here to lift you up, to praise you, to magnify you, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. I thank you and praise you, God, in Jesus' name, Lord, for you're the King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, all power in heaven and earth is in that name, Lord. And we magnify you, Lord. We lift you up. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. You are welcome here in this place, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Psalms 100 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord, he is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. We have an invitation. We have instruction in Jesus' name to enter into his presence with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Hallelujah. We get to do that. We have the opportunity. We have the invitation and instruction to be in his presence in Jesus' name. Let's worship the Lord together in this place. And let him have his way in Jesus' name.
I will live, I will. Every battle has been won. you thank him. Because of Jesus, we overcome. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you. inside. You thought I was a diaphone. You thought I was a diaphone. You thought I was a diaphone. So you sacrificed your life so I could be.
Expression of a spirit-filled life of what God does to somebody when He fills them with His Spirit. It is something that God does that cannot be contained. He pours out a blessing. I thought about this throughout the week. I just think about the Lord and what He does for me, and I can't help but express myself. That is an overflow of the forgiven soul. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? We're going to ask the ushers to come at this time. Let's clap our hands to the Lord and be thankful for what He is doing here today, in Jesus' name. Brother Span, will you pray for the offering?
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Day in history, set the speech and you have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. The empty cross, the empty grave, life eternal, you have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive. He's alive. Jesus, you are mine. In endless joy and perfect peace, earthly pain finally will cease. Celebrate, Jesus is alive. He's alive. Jesus, you are mine.
Yes, hallelujah.
An endless joy and perfect peace. Earthly pain finally will cease. Celebrate, Jesus is alive. He's alive. Oh, happy day, happy day.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I know of a surety is a happy day for a few people here in the house. I say that because for those of you who do not know, at conclusion of service or near the conclusion of service this morning, we are going to have the opportunity to take Colin down in the precious name of Jesus Christ. It's a happy day.
Amen.
Ask him before service, are you excited, man? He gave me that big old smile. He said, yes, sir. I said, I'm excited too, but we are thankful that Colin has seen the need and he has expressed his desire to be baptized in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And we are gonna celebrate that occasion. We are going to bury him in the precious name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It's so good to have LaToya in service with us, the daughter of Sister Michelle. God bless you for being in service. Why don't you give her a hand clap? You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I do want to make you aware of a few things by way of announcement. I want to tell you that tonight at 6:30, we do this whenever there is a fifth Sunday in the month. Usually only happens four, maybe five times a year. And we have what's called a faith and family night. And this is where we get together. The setting is casual, so we will allow the dress to be casual. But we come together to promote our faith and our family. And tonight it's going to be a little different. It's going to be kind of a mixed match, if you will, of different things. We're going to start off with a little bit of singing and some presentations concerning what we're going to do in a Sunday school drive, children's ministry drive, and how you can help us and be involved in that. And then after that, there'll be some words spoke about family and time together with a family and how to make the most of that time together. And let me just say this. Sometimes we say and we use the term quality time, and I've come to know this, that any time with your family is quality time. Those of you that know me know that I'm very, very pro-family. I believe that it is good. I believe that it's godly, and it's what we should do in getting our families together. And the greatest place to get our families together is in the house of the Lord, household of faith. And so we want to encourage that. And then after what goes on up here, we'll go downstairs. We will provide food. But this is going to be the food. So if you don't like this kind of food, you may want to bring something else. We will have some pizza and some chips and some drinks. And it's kind of going to go along with what we're doing. I just kind of give you a little commercial, if you will, a little trailer. We're going to have little different rooms set up. And the object of the different rooms is to show you different ways. Not, you probably already know this, but just kind of remind us different ways that we can interact with our family. We'll have a room where there's a craft. We can do stuff together. Craft. We'll have a room where there's devotion, where we can talk about devotion. Obviously, we all know how to eat together. And hopefully, if you are not taking time to have a meal with your family, you will do that. You will start taking time to have a meal with your family. I know in the rush of today's world, sometimes we miss the little things which make such a big difference. And so we're going to have a few stations and things set up downstairs to kind of encourage and promote interaction time with family, and we hope that you will be involved and come and help us out in that tonight. If you want something else, or if you want to bring a side dish or a dessert, feel free to do so. We always like to eat, and we always like sweet stuff. So if you want to bring something else besides pizza to eat, maybe you don't like pizza, or pizza doesn't like you, and you need something else, well, feel free to bring that. We just want to let you know what is going to be on the menu provided by the church. And to offset the cost, we're just going to have a donation box. And if you want to give a donation to help offset the cost of the pizza and the refreshments, that would be great. There will be no set charge. We have found out that your generosity in just giving out of the goodness of your heart and free will offering is much greater than if we just charged a fee. And so we are just going to open it up for donations to help offset the cost. And just looking forward to a time together of fellowship and family. And that's happening tonight at 6:30. I'll let you sit for a spell. Why don't you stand? This morning will be a little bit different in that lot of times I do not preach with PowerPoint or with slides that I click through, but this morning there is, I believe, a wealth of information that will help you to see, to understand. I'm just excited about what the Word of the Lord would say this morning. You have your Bibles and you would turn to Mark chapter 13. You can put up the first slide for me. If you don't have your Bible, you can look up on the screen. Mark chapter number 13, beginning in verse number 1. As he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus answering them began to say, Take heed, lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. When you shall hear the wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils and in synagogues, and ye shall be beaten. You shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake. Everybody say, my sake. For a testimony against them, and the gospel must first be published among all nations. When they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall say, neither do you premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brothers shall betray brother to death, and the father the son, and the children shall rise against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But I say, for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. One more passage of scripture, 1 John chapter 2, verse number 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. The help of the Lord, I want to preach to you upon this subject. For his name's sake. For his name's sake. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, we love you. And we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, Lord. I thank you for this privilege to stand before these precious people and preach your word. God, to proclaim your truth, God, the principles and precepts of your word, God, that is eternal, Lord, that is ever applicable in our hearts and lives today. God, I pray that you would open their minds to receive your word, God. Let me speak with courage and conviction, God, from the Holy Ghost, God, to stir, God, the heart and mind of every individual in this place. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we thank you, we give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do in your name that is above every name. In the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. And everybody said, Amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. For his name's sake. In Jewish thought, a name is not merely an arbitrary designation. It is not a random combination of sounds. In Judaism, the name conveys the nature and essence of the thing being named. It represents the history and the reputation of the being that is being named. And because a name represents the reputation of the thing named, a name should be treated with the same respect as the thing's reputation. In Judaism, two concepts are central in regard to the name of God. There are two phrases or two concepts. One is Chalil Hashem. The other is Kadosh Hashem. An act done in disobedience or in disrespect or irreverence to the name is referred to Chalil Hashem or to profane the name. While an act done in obedience or in respect and reverence to the name is referred to as Kiddush Hashem. Or sanctification to the name. These concepts of Chalil Hashem and Kadosh Hashem are really what the commandment concerning taking the Lord's name in vain is all about. Exodus 20, verse 7 says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord God will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." Often we use this in reference to somebody who uses a profanity or uses the name of the Lord in what they say or an exclamation. But we need to understand that the meaning of this is much deeper than someone just using a profanity or someone just using the name of God in what they say or a phrase that they exclaim. This literally means having to deal with profaning the name or doing something in the name that is not in respect or reverence to the name. Stay with me. Might we say, calling ourselves a Christian but not living like a Christian is to commit Chalil Hashem, to profane the name. We are profaning the reputation, the history, the essence of the man Jesus Christ. And so if we call ourselves a Christian, but we do not live Christ-like, then we are in essence committing Chalil Hashem. We are profaning the name. We are taking the name of the Lord God in vain. See, for this reason, the names of God are treated with great respect and reverence within Judaism. So much so that even today, if you read something written by an Orthodox Jew, I challenge you, go to a website that has a Jewish writer, and you will see when God is in the writing, it will be G-D. They will not complete the name. Why? Because they do not want to commit Chalil Hashem. They do not want to profane the name. They do not use it frivolously or casually, and so they are very careful. They don't ever want it defaced. They don't ever want it something maybe to be printed out even off the internet and for that page to be crumbled up and thrown away, because that would, in essence, be Chalil Hashem. That would profane the name. So they are very careful. Additionally, furthermore, as to not profane the name by casual use, the number 15, which would ordinarily be written in Hebrew as Yad He or 10-5, is normally written as Tet Vav or 9-6, because Yad He is a name. They don't want to profane the name. They do this for the name's sake. They do this because they don't want to profane the name. Now, in the understanding of the respect and reverence of the name, as the name represents the reputation, the essence, the history of the thing being named, we need to go back to a great revelation given to a man named Moses at a burning bush. Exodus 3, verses 13 through 15, "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? God said unto Moses, I am that I am, or I am who I am, or I will be who I will be. I am that I am. Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me unto you. This is my Hashem forever. This is the name forever. And this is my memorial unto all generations." It is from this that we get this. In Hebrew, it is the Tetragrammaton. It is Yod-Heh-Vod-Heh. It is in Hebrew. Now understand, Hebrew is not read like English, left to right. Hebrew is read right to left. And so in Hebrew, this is the name of God. We would say, we add vowels. There are no vowels in the Hebrew language, but we add vowels. And so we put YHWEH, Yahweh. Yah. Hallelujah. Praise to the Lord.
we use what we would consider to be the name of God in English. We might say Yahweh, or we might say Jehovah, or in Hebrew one might say Yeshua. In English we would say Jesus. Yah has become salvation. The Lord has become salvation. We understand that Yahweh, Jehovah, Jesus are all referring to the same person. Now, say with me, from this tetragrammaton, from this Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh, which is the closest English translation that we can get to the true meaning of this word, is simply the eternal. The eternal. We use Yahweh, or we use Jehovah, or we use Jesus, but they all mean and they all reference the eternal. Now, pay attention. Jewish history records that at about 450 BC, the Jews have returned to their homeland after their captivity in Babylon, and they have become increasingly paranoid about committing Chilul Hashem. They believe that they have profaned the name of God, and as a result, they were taken into captivity by the Babylonians. And so coming out of captivity, they decide we are going to be very careful to the point of paranoia. They decide we are not going to commit Chilul Hashem, and so we will not profane the name. And so they made a decree. They even made a law. The common people were not to utter the name. Do not utter Yahweh. You do not utter the sacred, holy name. They went a little further and they decided that's not good enough. And they decided that they would tell even the priest, you cannot utter the name of God. For fear of committing Chilul Hashem, you cannot utter the name of God. All the way up until 270 BC, the last recorded in Jewish history, a high priest by the name of Simon was the last high priest, because at that point they decided that even the high priest himself was to not use the name. They're so paranoid. We're so fearful of committing Chilul Hashem that even the high priest, it was outlawed that he would use the name, because they did this for the name's sake. So it was that as from 270 BC on up until the advent of Christ, that whenever the Holy Writ was written, was read, whenever the scriptures were opened and they were recited before men, when they came to the name of God, instead of saying it, they used a substitute word. We know it as Adonai. Means the Lord. And so when they would come to the name of God, whoever was reciting the scripture would, instead of using the name of God, would say Adonai. And the congregation would in one accord retort, Hashem, the name. They knew where it was. They knew that this Hashem, the name, was there. And they knew that whoever was reciting and reading was careful not to commit Chilul Hashem, not to profane the name. And so the reader would say, Adonai. And the congregation would retort, Hashem, the name. I began to think about that. They became so scared and so paranoid that it became the irony of all irons. For in the fear of committing Chilul Hashem, the Jewish people did not pronounce even the name of their own God. And to this day, catch this, even now, we do not know the correct phonetic pronunciation of the name of God. The ancient Hebrews do not even know how to properly pronounce the name of their own God. They were doing it for the name's sake. But in doing so, they forsook the name. Say with me, Jesus said, one of the signs of the end time is that you're going to be persecuted for my name's sake. Now, you need to understand, that's not just because we call ourselves Jesus' name. Hang with me. I'm going somewhere with this. Just buckle down for a few moments. For 300 years, 270 BC was the last recorded time a high priest by the name of Simon used the name of God. So for 300 years, I say 300 because 270 BC, you come all the way down. Now you're at 30 AD. There's a carpenter who's walking among Jewry. And he begins to say things like this. He begins to say, and he said unto them, John 8:23. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above, ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that if that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am, check out the he. It's in italics. You know why? Because it was added by the translators. You know what Jesus is saying? If you believe not that I am. Wait a second. No wonder they were so mad. No wonder they were so upset. This carpenter from Galilee dared use the Hashem. That's why they pointed their fingers at him and said, you being a man have made yourself God. You are identifying with the name. And Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. What you need to understand is that you've forsaken the name so much so that you don't even have the correct pronunciation anymore. And while you've lost the pronunciation, what you need to understand is that you're looking at the person. Lost the pronunciation, but I stand before you as the person. Then Jesus said this. Now hang on. Then Jesus said this unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that I am. You shall know that I am. You shall know that I am Yod Heh Vod Heh. You shall know that I am Yahweh. You shall know that I am the God of the Old Testament. You shall know that I am the Tetragrammaton that you have forsaken and that you no longer pronounce and you can't even correctly pronounce. You shall, in the day that you lift up the Son of Man, you shall know. Say with me. Rightly did John say. They lost the pronunciation, but now they have the person. For John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John wanted the readers to understand. You may have lost the pronunciation, but you now have the person. Jesus said, I draw your attention once again to John 8:28. Then Jesus said unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that I am He. Look at this. Look at this. This is what Pilate writes over the top of the head of Jesus as He is hanging upon the cross. It's John 19, and Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, in all bold caps, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh into the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then the chief sin said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not! Write this! They weren't upset about the Greek. They weren't upset about the Latin. What they were upset about was the Hebrew. And I'm going to show you why. He said, don't do this. Take down that inscription, Pilate. Don't leave that above his head. Do not let Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, remain above his head. Take it down and instead write that he said he was King of the Jews. The reason why. It's because the Jews were very familiar. They understand order. They understand different organizations in the Bible. They understand Psalms 119 and that every letter beginning of the verse has the Hebrew alphabet. They understand all these Bible codes, if you will, and what they mean and how they work. Because this Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, is actually this in Hebrew. But remember, you got to read it right to left. Yeshua HaNazarai, Vimelech HaYehudim. Say with me. This is written over the top of the head of Jesus as he hangs on the cross, Jesus told them, in the day that you lift up the Son of Man, you will know that I am. You will know that I am. When they lift me up, you're going to know that I am. Look at this. Jesus, the Nazarene King of the Jews, if you take the first Hebrew letter of each of those words and you read it backward, it is Yod Heh Vod Heh. What they had over the head of Jesus, what Pilate had written over the head of Jesus, had written in Hebrew, was identifying Jesus as Yahweh. Yod Heh Vod Heh. He was over top of his head, and the Jews saw it, and they got so upset. They read right to left, and they understood the first letter in each of those signifies that he is Yahweh. Jesus said this, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be hated for all men, of all men, for my name's sake. Listen to this. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2:7-8, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden mystery. Wait a second. Even the hidden mystery or wisdom which God ordained before the world under our glory, which none, catch this, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Had they really known who he was, had they really known, do you not understand the reason why Jews are so adamant that Jesus was not the Messiah? Catch this. The reason why Orthodox Jews are adamant that Jesus was not the Messiah, because if they recognized that Jesus is the Messiah, they committed, their people committed the worst Chalil Hashem that has ever been committed. The reason why their pride will not let them admit that Jesus is the Messiah, because if they admit that Jesus is the Messiah, they realize, wait a second, we have committed the ultimate Chalil Hashem. We have profaned the name. We crucified the essence. We crucified the being that represented the name. So it is no wonder that when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, there were, the Bible says, Jews dwelling in Jerusalem out of every nation under heaven. And when it was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded. They heard them speak in their own tongue wherein they were born. And they say, how can this be? And they tried to have some explanation as to what was going on. But Peter, standing up with the 12, lifted up his voice and said, hey, you need to understand. This is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. And then he goes on to preach Jesus. The same Jesus you have taken and with your wicked hands you have crucified. You have committed the ultimate Chalil Hashem. He said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? We recognize we have committed the ultimate Chalil Hashem. We have profaned the name. We took the Prince of Glory and we hung upon a tree. Even the name above his head signified. All along we were so careful and we thought we were doing things for the sake of the name. We committed the ultimate Chalil Hashem. What shall we do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name, in the Shem of Jesus Christ. You need to recognize that it's only in that name. Neither is there salvation in any other name. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's why we understand that when we baptize in the name of Jesus, it is the ultimate fulfillment of Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore into all the world, teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, I am come in my Father's name. Jesus said, the Holy Ghost which the Father will send in my name. Jesus said, I have come in my own name. And understand this, when we take someone down in the name of Jesus, we are committing the ultimate Kadosh Hashem. We are sanctifying the name of Jesus in someone's life. So John writes, I write unto you little children. Catch what he says. Look at the verse. I write unto you little children because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. If I could really understand and if I could really get it, when we go down in the name of Jesus, we lose our reputation and we get his. We lose our history and we get his. We lose our essence and we get his. We lose our image and we get his. It is the ultimate Kadosh Hashem. It is the ultimate sanctification of the name. Oh. And that's why Paul would write, look at Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Can I paraphrase what the Apostle Paul is saying? Now, this life that I live for his name's sake. I live because I don't want to commit Jalil Hashem. I live like I live because I want to be a part of Kadosh Hashem. I want to sanctify the name. I want to grow in my walking relationship with Jesus. So I'm not profaning his name, but I'm adding respectability in my walk, and I'm adding reverence in my walk to the name of Jesus. God forbid I call myself a Christian, but don't live according to the word of God. Here's where it is. Here's where the rubber meets the road. Jesus said, you're going to be hated of all men for my name's sake. That's not just because you identify yourself as a Jesus name apostolic. I hate to burst your bubble. It's not just because you say, well, I go to a Jesus name church. No. What Jesus is saying is, listen, what you need to understand is when you refuse to profane the name, when your walk refuses to coincide with society, when you refuse to go along with what they do that profanes the name, you're going to be hated. Catch this. See, it's the understanding. It's not just that I'm in Jesus' name or I'm an apostolic. It's just that I refuse to allow things in my life that would profane the name. That's why I don't care what decisions the courts make, and I don't care what decisions the politicians make. If they are not in line with what thus saith the word of God, Jesus said, I come to fulfill all the law and the prophets, and if they are not coincide with the biblical precepts and principles of the word of God, then they commit Jalil Hashem. They profane the name, and I refuse to go alongside, and I refuse to bow to them. He is my Lord. He is my God. I will not profane the name. I will not commit Jalil Hashem. I will be involved in Kadosh Hashem. I will sanctify the name. Make no mistake. Don't let anybody spoil you, the Bible says. Philosophy and vain deceit at the rudiments of this world and traditions of men and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That means the fullness of the name. dwelt in Jesus, and ye are complete in him. Catch this. Who is ahead of all principalities and power. So I am a part. When I take on the name of Jesus in water baptism, I am taking on Hashem, the name. And so the life that I now live, Colin, buddy, thank you for coming into this point, because you need to understand something. When you come up out of that water, what has just been applied to your life is the name, the Hashem. And now the life that you lead and the life that we lead when we come out, it should be a resurrected life. A life lived in Kadesh Hashem. A life lived in sanctification of the name. I'm sorry, world. That's why I don't walk like you walk. And that's why I don't talk like you talk. And that's why I don't do like you do. Because I'm not interested in profaning the name. I want my life to bring glory unto God. I want to walk in Kadesh Hashem, sanctification of the name. See, someone goes down in baptism in the name of Jesus, it's not so much the pronunciation, it's important. Catch this. Don't anybody spoil you through plain philosophy, rudiments of this world. It's not the correct pronunciation. I know how it is. You get a little nervous. You get a little nervous when people talk about, what about baptizing in Jesus or Yahshua. Wait a second. If you don't say the name of Jesus, then it's not applicable. Careful. There's some other languages don't know our language. They don't say Jesus when they baptize somebody in China. I knew it was going to get quiet. But you need to understand Hashem, the name. It's in the authority. It's in the respect. And it's the reverence, it's the understanding of who it is. See, that's why we believe and we teach. Because the name of Jesus, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, is much more identifiable than just a title Father. Or just a title Son. That's why we teach and we believe, and that's why every example that we have in the Word of God, they are. Now, hate to burst your bubble. You will not find every instance where they say, I now baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ. Check it. Read it for yourself. But what you will find is that you will see calling on the name of the Lord, calling on the name of the Lord Jesus, baptizing them in the name of Jesus Christ. And so what you identify is the Hashem, the name. And now catch it. People say, well, then does it really matter? Oh, I believe it does. Want to know why? Because I kind of got a little of that Judaism in me. Sorry. I want to be careful. I don't want to do anything that would even border in committing Chalil Hashem. I don't want to profane the name. I want to use the name. I want to give sanctification to the name. And so that's why when I take someone down in the watery grave, in the baptismal tank, I say, in accordance with your faith, to the obedience of the Word of God, and you believing that when I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ, that name remits you of all sin, I now baptize you in the Hashem, the name of Jesus Christ. Now you need to understand this. If we were Hebrew and I said Yahshua, it would be just as applicable. If we were in a Latin American country and I said, I now baptize you in the name of Jesus, it would still be just as applicable. Because it's not so much the pronunciation, it's the person of Jesus. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. The Jews understand the concept. They understand the name is just more than just formation of words or sounds. They understand the name represents the reputation, the history. The name represents the essence of the being named. So, we, as born-again Christians, as those who believe in the power of the name of Jesus. Listen, folks, that's why when I pray in the name of Jesus, it's not my reputation at stake. Catch it. I want to do so with faith. Because whatsoever is not of faith is a sin. And so when I pray for somebody in the name of Jesus, I better make sure that I'm doing so with faith. I'm just not going through the motion or just repeating something I heard someone else say, but I believe in the power and the authority of Hashem, the name. That name, it represents Jesus Christ, God manifest in flesh. That name, the power and the authority in that name. What it represents, that is what I am leveraging. And so when someone goes down in the name of Christ, for if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Yes, yes.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Yes, yes.
And so just a few moments. Colin, you can go ahead and make your way downstairs, bud. Get ready. We're going to apply the Hashem to Colin's life. Now the life that he will lead from this point on should be led for his name's sake.
Jesus.
I don't know if you can remember. And I know if you're anything like me, I ain't been perfect since I came up out of the water.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Guess what? I'm now understanding more and more every day how much it matters what I do and how I live.
Yes, yes.
Because I'm living for his namesake.
Amen.
I do what I do for his namesake. I don't want to profane his name. I call myself a Christian. And I don't want people to look at me and shake their head and think, man, that guy calls himself a Christian. I don't want to profane the name. I want to commit Kadosh Hashem. I want to sanctify the name.
Yes, yes.
I want the name of Jesus Christ to be glorified in my life. I want what I do and how I live and what I'm a part of to represent who I am. I am now crucified with Christ. Yeah, I don't live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live for his name's sake. So remember that moment when you came up out of the water. If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, you need to understand. You need Hashem. You need the name applied to your life. You need the name that under there's no salvation in any other name. It's only through the name of Jesus. That's why Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. You've got to go down in Hashem in the name of Jesus Christ. And when you come up, you now live for his name's sake. Just a few moments. We're going to take Colin Pascal down in the name of Jesus Christ. Mama, do your best to make sure that boy lives with respect and reverence to the name is going to be applied to his life. Mama, do your best. Let your prayers cover that boy with the blood of Jesus, realizing the Hashem has been added to his life. Look at him and don't be afraid to say, hey, boy, you're in danger of committing Khalil Hashem. Get back in what's right. Do a part of Kadesh Hashem. Sanctify that name that's been applied to your life. Friend of mine, saint of God, if the name of Jesus has been applied to your life in water baptism, God forbid that you profane the name. Commit Kadesh Hashem. Sanctify the name. We're going to invite the family to come on up, and others, please make your way to the front. I'm going to go step around to the back.
Jehovah,
you are Jehovah,
and I worship you,
and I worship you.
You are Jehovah,
you are Jehovah,
and I glorify you,
and I glorify you.
There is no other,
there is no other
God like you,
no other God like
you.
Your name we pray.
You are Jehovah,
you are Jehovah,
and I worship you,
and I worship you.
Feel free to come towards the front if you'd like. I know there's someone who'd like to take pictures and video. And family, if you want to make your way up there, you get a better. This is a momentous occasion. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. I thank you for this awesome opportunity to take this fine young man down in your precious name. And I pray, God, that he would recognize, Lord, when he comes up out of this water, in the natural, he's just going to be wet, Lord. But in the spiritual, he has taken on a covenant name. He has taken on your name in water baptism. And your word says, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ, you've put on Christ. And when he comes up out of this water, he will have put on you, God, and your reputation, your essence, your image, God. And let him now walk and live in a life of respect and reverence to that name, Lord, that he would not just call himself a Christian, Lord, but that he would live in the light and revelation of what that means, that he would commit Kadesh Hashem, that he would sanctify the name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Living water.
I've got the river
of living water.
Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
The man Christ Jesus was the ultimate example.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you,
Lord. Of Kedesh Hashem. He was the ultimate example of sanctification of the name. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the mention of that name, that name is stronger than any addiction. That name is greater than any disease. That name is greater than sin. And that name provides salvation for you and for me because of Jesus Christ. Because he was the ultimate example of Kiddush Hashem. Thank you. One more time, can we lift our hands and lift our voices? Thank you for the revelation of the name. Thank you for the revelation of the name. It's only by his name is God able to call me his own. It's only by the name of Jesus Christ. It's only through him. One parting shot. Please do not take offense about what I'm about to say. But I do not think scripturally, according to the Word of God, it would be permissible for a holy, righteous, almighty God to allow anybody into his presence who does not have Hashem. Sorry, but I can't find it in the Word of God where I can make heaven my home without having Hashem. Because allowing anything other than the name, the one who was holy and righteous, allowing anybody into the presence of God who has not the name would be to profane the name. And I doubt very seriously that God himself would ever commit Chilil Hashem. So do we teach, do we preach, do we believe that someone has to have the name of Jesus Christ applied to your life? Yes, we do. And that's why we teach that baptism in the name of Jesus is essential to one's salvation. God's sovereign. He can do whatever you want. You bet he can. I believe that with all my heart. God will save who he will save. And my opinion doesn't matter. But his word is forever settled in heaven. See God ever going against his word. One more time, can you lift your hands? God, I pray if there are those under the sound of my voice. Lord, I pray. Lord, I pray they don't feel condemnation, but they feel conviction. Lord, that they would understand that having your name applied to their life is essential to one's salvation. Except we're born again of the water and of the Spirit, we cannot see the kingdom of God. And there is salvation in none other name than the name of Jesus. God bless you for being in service this morning. We hope that you will make plans to attend our faith and family tonight at 6:30. God bless you. Congratulate Colin and family. As we welcome another one to the family of God, you may go in the name of Jesus.